Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, welcome to you on this Monday. Thanks for joining us on Derek Prince Legacy Radio. As we start off this new week, we're also starting off a wonderful new series by Derek Prince that basically is all about prayer. That may not be what we're calling it, but that's what it is. And I've been trying to figure out how to express how I feel about this series. And I guess it reminds me of the time I went to Disney World and they had this miniature little village based on Tokyo. And then I went to the real Tokyo. And I realized that as good a job as Disney did, they just could never have captured the magnificence of the original. Now, today, Derek Prince is going to talk to us about how to pray and how to get what we want from God when we pray. And we've had lots of teaching on this kind of theme in the body of Christ, but it's so fascinating to go back almost to the original. I don't mean the Gospels, the Bible, but to one of the fathers of that whole emphasis on prayer in our modern world, and to see the original teaching, to see what laid the foundation for much of what we have now. It's refreshing. It's, in a sense, bigger, grander. I'm not comparing Derek to other teachers. I'm just saying there's a purity, there's a simplicity, there's a power that I've not found in other teachings that I've heard. So I'm very excited about you getting this today. Now listen, if you miss any of this, and we'll be doing this for the next 2 weeks, log on to the website at derekprince.org. Well, let's get right to it and listen as Derek Prince teaches us about how to pray and how to get what we want from God when we pray.
This week, I'll be dealing with one of my favorite themes, the theme of prayer. For some people, I suppose prayer seems like an irksome religious duty. For my part, I love to pray. And what's more, I get what I pray for. That's just what I'm going to talk to you about this week, how to pray and get what you pray for. As we come to God in prayer, most of us need to begin by changing our negative an unattractive image of God, which somehow hinders us and stands between God and us. I don't know how it is with any of you, but in my experience, I remember as a boy growing up at school, and I spent many long and rather weary years in boarding schools, God, in my thinking, was somewhat like a schoolmaster, and I really wasn't too fond of schoolmasters. But I think I envisaged God as a schoolmaster sitting at his desk in his study, at the end of a long corridor. And if you ever had to go and see the schoolmaster, you kind of had to tiptoe down the corridor, and probably the floorboards would creak as you stepped on them, and that would give warning that you were on the way. And then you'd knock at the door, and a rather grumpy voice would tell you to come in, and probably begin by scolding you for something you'd done or hadn't done. And I think that picture of the schoolmaster was really the way I thought about God. And so, for me to be able to pray effectively, that picture that I had of God had to change. And I think somehow there's a similar picture in the minds of many, of somebody who's a rather long way off and doesn't want to be bothered and is probably going to scold us and, well, the best thing we can do is stay away from him if possible. Now, that isn't at all the truth about God. Actually, when we come to God, he does not scold us. He welcomes us. If anything, he says, "Why have you waited so long?" There's a beautiful picture of how God welcomes us when we come in the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. It's the well-known story of the prodigal son who'd strayed away from home, wasted all his living, got himself into real deep trouble, and ended up absolutely down and out, totally broke, with no resources. And when he came to the end of all that, his thought was, "I'd better go back home. Perhaps my father will receive me. I couldn't ask him to take me back as a son, but I could ask him to take me as one of his hired hands." And so it says in Luke 15, verse 20, "So he got up and went to his father." Now I want you to notice how the father received him. "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." See what a welcome he got, as soon as he was willing to turn around and go back home. He never had a chance to say, make me as one of your hired servants, because before that his father was kissing him and welcoming him back as a child. That's a beautiful picture of how God receives us. He doesn't scold us. He doesn't blame us. He isn't stern and distant. He's loving and warm and gracious. And when we get that picture of God, it altogether changes the way we pray. Jesus came to represent the Father to humanity. And the teaching of Jesus on prayer was as totally positive as any area of his teaching. This is what he says in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Notice those three positive statements. Everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then again in Matthew 21, 22, and everything you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Everything you ask in prayer, you shall receive. And again in Mark 11, 24, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. What could be more all-embracing than those statements? Everything you ask in prayer, whatever you ask for in prayer. And notice what Jesus says in that second context. He says, believe that you have received it. It's so important to realize that we receive when we pray. The actual experience of what we've prayed for may have to wait. But by faith, we receive what we pray for when we pray. In his closing discourse to his disciples in John's Gospel, Jesus three times assures us that God will answer our prayers. Listen to these words, John 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. How comprehensive. If you ask anything, I will do it. John 15, 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Ask whatever you wish. How could you say more than that? Again, in John 16, verse 24, until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. There is a special kind of joy that comes from getting our prayers answered. To know that Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, the ruler of the whole universe, has his ear open to our personal, individual prayer, that he'll do what we ask him to do individually. That's one of the most exciting experiences that anybody can ever have. Jesus wants us to have that joy, that special joy that comes from seeing the answers to our prayers. And so he says, ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full.
You know, Derek is teaching us something that's so important, and that is that often our activity in prayer is connected to how we see God. If we see God as a harsh taskmaster, if we believe he's a harsh and demanding ruler, then our prayer life really isn't based on coming to a loving Father and making our requests known to him. On the other hand, if we have a biblical view of God, we understand that he loved us before we loved him, and he delights in providing what his children need. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Government leaders and policies can greatly affect God's people and their ability to carry out the Great Commission. But what can one believer do? Can a single saint change the course of history? Derek Prince says, yes. Few Bible teachers in modern times have had a deeper understanding of how prayer and fasting work together to change circumstances than did Derek Prince. That is why one of Derek's most consistently influential books is Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. As you read through its pages, you'll discover the little taught secrets of moving mountains that have inspired and influenced countless other Bible teachers and intercessors. With it, you can become a history shaper. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. To order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting for only $12.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince had a deep and biblical understanding of the power of prayer. He saw firsthand how God will partner with willing believers. Discover how the same keys that move princes and presidents will also bring God's perfect will into your life. Order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thank you for being with us on this Monday. We've just launched a wonderful series by Derek Prince on praying. Derek has taught us that our prayers are connected to our image of God, and now he's going to begin to teach us about renouncing self-will and about the attitudes that allow us to get what we desire from the Father. Let's listen.
I believe that there are four main requirements for a right approach to God. Today I'm going to deal with the first of these requirements. Jesus is our example. I'll go back to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, the verse that I read in my talk yesterday. This speaks about Jesus' life on earth and how he prayed. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. We're told why God the Father always heard the prayers of his Son, Jesus. It says he was heard because of his reverent submission. That's the point that I want to emphasize in my talk today, reverent submission. That's the first aspect of approaching God that we need to look at. How was this reverent submission of Jesus expressed? The writer of Hebrews is referring to the time when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is described in Matthew 26, verse 39. It says, "He went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt.'" And then a little further on in verse 42 of the same chapter, it says, "He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done.'" So reverent submission consists in saying to the Father, "Not as I will, but as thou wilt. Thy will be done." It consists in renouncing our own will and embracing the will of God. Jesus gave us a pattern prayer. He told us a particular way in which we ought to pray. It's what we normally call the Lord's Prayer. And in part of this prayer, he includes this very thing we're talking about. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There we are. When we come to God, we have to say, "Thy will be done." And we have to include in that, and if thy will and my will are not in accord, then I renounce my will in order that thy will may be done. Where the two wills conflict, it's the will of God that must be allowed to have free course. You see, there's an aspect of the old nature which is being dealt with by this requirement. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, Paul says this, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So there are two selves. The old self, our nature before God changed us. The new self, what God wants to make us. Now, for the new self to express itself, we have to first put off the old self. That's something we have to do. It's not something that God does for us. And so when we say, "Not my will, but thine be done," we're putting off the old self. That's not my will. And when we say, "But thy will be done," then we're putting on the new self. That's being changed or made new in the attitude of our minds. We have to understand that the old self is a rebel, and he has no claims to God's inheritance. The whole inheritance belongs by right to the new self. But what often happens in our lives as Christians is the old self, the rebel, rises up again and asserts his claim to what is only the rightful inheritance of the new self. So to guard against that rebel claim, we have to say, as Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Let's go on a little more with this relationship between the old self and the new. If God were to answer all the prayers of the old self in every one of us, the universe would be in chaos. Let me give you just one or two simple examples. The first example, the Sunday school has a picnic. So they are praying, Lord, keep the rain away. Meanwhile, the poor farmer's crops are withering, and he's praying, Lord, send rain. We need rain. How is God going to answer both those prayers? Of course, the truth is, he's not committed to answer either unless it's the prayer of the new self which has renounced its own will. Or take another typical kind of example. Two nations are at war with one another. The Christians in each nation are praying, God, give our nation the victory. How can God possibly do that? But you see, God isn't committed to do that. God is committed to answer the prayers of the new self, but he's not committed to cater to that old rebel, the old self, who just keeps asserting his own will. So when we pray for anything, we always need to ask ourselves, am I praying for this thing because I want it or because God wants it? It makes a great deal of difference. If it's because I want it, my prayers may not be answered. But if it's because God wants it, then my prayers will be answered. There are certain areas where people habitually bring their requests and their petitions to God. For instance, people may pray to be healed of sickness, or they may pray for a financial need to be met. They may pray for God to send them money. Every time we find ourselves praying that kind of prayer, we need to ask ourselves, am I praying for healing because I want to be healed or because God wants me healed? Am I praying for financial prosperity because it's what I want or because it's what God wants? It'll make a great deal of difference in our whole approach to God if we settle that issue.
You know, there's an attitude that moves the hand of God that Jesus modeled for us. When he said, not as I will, but as thy will be done, he was modeling the attitude of reverent submission that wins the heart of God. Like any father, when his children are submissive, when his children want the will of the Father, are compliant, the Father's heart is moved with compassion, moved with desire to bless his children. That's the attitude that moves the heart of God in prayer. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Government leaders and policies can greatly affect God's people and their ability to carry out the Great Commission. But what can one believer do? Can a single saint change the course of history? Derek Prince says, yes. Few Bible teachers in modern times have had a deeper understanding of how prayer and fasting work together to change circumstances than did Derek Prince. That is why one of Derek's most consistently influential books is Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. As you read through its pages, you'll discover the little taught secrets of moving mountains that have inspired and influenced countless other Bible teachers and intercessors. With it, you can become a history shaper. Call toll free 800-448-3261 to order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting for only $12.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince had a deep and biblical understanding of the power of prayer. He saw firsthand how God will partner with willing believers. Discover how the same keys that move princes and presidents will also bring God's perfect will into your life. Order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for being with us today. We've just launched a whole new series on prayer that will be running for 2 weeks. We want you to join us for every single session. If you can't, log on to our website at derekprince.org. Now listen, in the upcoming portion of the teaching, Derek is going to talk to us about a balanced view of loving ourselves. This is going to be an antidote to much that is circulating in the world today. Let's listen.
I remember once, some years back, a woman came to me and asked me to pray for her son, about 12 years old, who is in hospital with a disease which is diagnosed as incurable. She asked me to go and pray for her son in the hospital, and I was perfectly ready to do it. But without really thinking, I simply said to her, "Have you surrendered your son to the Lord?" And when I asked her that simple question, she became hysterical. She thought I was trying to tell her that her son was going to die. I didn't have that in mind. I simply wanted to point out to her that as long as she was pressing her will, the will of God really couldn't come to pass. And that as long as she kept her hand by her will over her son, God's hand couldn't really reach out and touch her son. As long as we are trying to force our own will through, we do not make room for the will of God. Now, when you think about renouncing your own will and embracing the will of God, there are some things you need to remember. Let me suggest three things you need to bear in mind. First of all, God loves you more than you love yourself. Second, God understands you better than you understand yourself. And third, God wants only the best for you. Are you prepared to say, "Not as I will, but as thou wilt"? When you truly yield to God's will, you will discover that it is what the Bible says it is: good, acceptable, and perfect. Remember this: prayer is not a way for you to get God to do what you want. Prayer is a way for you to become an instrument for God to do what He wants. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 3:20. "Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Another translation of that verse says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." So God's ability to answer our prayers goes exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Well, you might say, how could that possibly be? What is it that could be beyond anything that I could ask or think or imagine or reason? The answer is, it's what God wants to do. You see, what God wants to do is far greater and far higher and far better than anything you could imagine or think of for yourself. But as long as we limit God to doing merely what we want, we miss what God wants. So it's very simple and very logical that in order to receive the best from God in our prayer, we have to come to God the way that Jesus came, with reverent submission. We have to say, "God, not as I will, but as thou wilt. God, I'm not praying to be healed because I want to be healed, but because I believe you want me to be healed."
You know, as we launch this wonderful series on prayer that will run over the next 2 weeks, I wanted to begin at a very important point of ministry that Derek mentioned today. For many of us, our concept of God is shaped by experiences we've had with other fathers. Perhaps we've had a harsh father. Perhaps we had no father, but the father figures in our lives were coaches or people who were just a bit abrasive, hurtful, bruising. Perhaps our fathers were horrible, negative influences in our lives in some way, or maybe they were so passive or playing of games, you know, and manipulating. It's hard to say. People have many different types of fathers. And then, of course, some of us had wonderful fathers, but I want to talk to you for a moment whose image of Father God is tainted by the earthly father figures that you've known. If you believe that God is just whatever you've known on earth made large, if He's just a larger version of the bad father you've had here on earth, then you will never approach Him properly in prayer. You will never truly love Him, and you'll have a hard time receiving the love that He yearns to pour out on you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you for a healing in our hearts and a healing in our lives over these next few weeks of the Father image of who you are. And we pray that you'll restore what's been lost and draw us into a spirit of grace and supplication, of prayer and intercession that transforms our lives and takes hold of your will for this earth. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Listen, if you need to soak in this teaching some more, log on to DerekPrince.org. But that is all the time that we have for today. So for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your copy of Derek's classic book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, available for only $12.95. Call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover how you can become a history shaper. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting when you visit us securely online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.